Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County Monterey. I was toting my...
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey. I thought that was funny, didn't you, that Johnny Cash resurrected again. He started singing after we shut him off. Oh, but he's a good singer. We could listen to him sing that again. Thank you very much, Audrey, for getting us on tonight. We could not do it without you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Blog Talk Radio Network, and particularly the Jumble Justice Radio Show. We have an interesting one on tonight, something unusual. We pulled this off of archive.org, and our star tonight as a lawyer investigator is Groucho Marx, none other. So you are too young to remember who he is. He's one of the famous Marx brothers, and they were in fact a hoot. But anyway, I'm your host, Keith Haley, and thank you again, Johnny, for taking us on that trip across the country. Mike asked me last week, he said, I wonder how many miles Johnny traveled. That'd be an interesting little thing, get a map out the United States and listen to that song and plot all the places that he goes to and come up with a total miles. I bet he's got some miles on those trucks he's been riding as he goes around the country. Emily and Mike, thank you very much also for being with us tonight and helping us get the show going. What we tried to do on this show is think about news issues and events and developments in the always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of criminal justice, and sometimes you can't tell what I'm doing. Like tonight, why in the world are we listening to Groucho Marx? Well, it's criminal justice related. It's, you know, it's March, and it looks like it's still deep February, so maybe we'll get a little humor out of this tonight. Our show is dedicated to those energetic, tireless sports corrections, police officials, and juvenile justice who protect us throughout the United States and throughout the world. What we try to do is take an inside look at criminal justice practice most of the time and then see what's going on. And these are some tough times in criminal justice all the way across the United States. We have a lot of people laid off. We've talked on the radio show about Camden, New Jersey, laid off 450 of its police officers, and already one of their crimes, I think, was robberies, up like 79%. So there is a direct relationship between the number of cops you have and, you know, the kind of level of crime you have. We don't know what that is exactly, how many cops do you need, because it varies around the country per capita. But we know you can get too low, and I think the people in Camden have probably got the word, but I just got news from somebody this evening that's been working in the state correction system for a long time. And he's being reassigned to some other type of job, but a lot of people will be will be losing their job. I heard from somebody, I can't reveal the source, that Ohio may be laying off as many as 300 people in the state correction system. Don't quote me on that as being fact, but that's what I've heard. You're listening on Blog Talk Radio. That's a leading-edge technology, and Blog Talk Radio keeps adding features. There's some nice little things on there. We can Skype, and we can add toll-free minutes. We can all sorts of things. New transcription services. You can actually get the shows transcribed. But I point out that any person, any interest group, any organization can have their own show. They can broadcast live and streaming audio. The only difference compared to a year or so ago is that if you're going to broadcast between 7 and 11 at night, it's going to cost you a little bit of money, not much. But other than that, it's pretty good. Any other time, it's totally free, which is amazing when you think that you can broadcast around the world at no cost whatsoever. Think of that 30 years ago in the radio business. Absolutely impossible. So anyway, you don't like what we're doing here, get your own show, as I say. You can easily do it. Tonight I mentioned that we're going to be listening to a show entitled, I didn't mention the title, called The Kidnapping, starring Groucho Marx and some of the Marx Brothers. I think you had some fun with this particular show. You're listening on your computer. You can call in during the news segment if you want and chat about some of those news stories. And it's 347-996-5983. 347-996-5983. If you want to listen to some of these shows later on, which some people do, I've actually played them in class when we have a guest speaker, that type of thing, or some of the other segments that we play, you can, they're archived on the site, and you can download those and play them at your will. There's no copyright violation at all involved in that. Well, Audrey's going to start off tonight with a blonde joke. What an idea, right? Okay, Audrey. This joke tonight I really like. This is really a funny one. And Audrey, I will point out, is Audrey England. She was born in London, England, and she is blonde, and she is a collector of blonde jokes, probably has the world's largest collection, so she's not offended by blonde jokes. Well, Audrey, go ahead with this one you have tonight.
Professor Haley. The blonde joke for tonight's show is related to what some folks would perceive as the hard times we are going through now. I hope our audience will like it. Here it is. A motorist was passing by a branch bank late one evening when he saw a blonde dumping gasoline from a can into an automatic teller machine. Fearing a fire or an explosion, the motorist called the police and the officer came almost immediately and went up to the blonde and pulled the gas can from her hands. The blonde shouted, "What are you doing?" The police officer answers and said, "What are you doing pouring gasoline into an automatic teller machine?" The blonde laughed and said to the officer, "I thought you cops were smarter than that. In these hard times, don't you know we are supposed to be saving fuel?"
That's a funny one, Audrey. And now we can tell them, don't we? How can't we? That's the first one that we've ever done on the radio show in 4 years where I made up the joke. That's right. That's why no one's laughing. I made up the joke. But anyway, you're supposed to be saving fuel. Hey, put it in an ATM machine, right? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, a much more serious note in the interest of reducing crime. The Ohio Coalition Against Firearms got a public service announcement, and they would like all of you to hear it, so we'll play that again tonight.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition. Related to that's a little news story. I'm not going to talk about it much tonight, but I got a news clip in that said that New Jersey is now denying people a right to carry permits even when there's no reason to do it. One of them is a part-time police officer, and they're just trying to stop the influx of guns, and they're saying, well, look, you only have a right to have a firearm in your home, but you don't have a right to get a right to carry license, and you're there at will to decide who gets it. I'm going to look into New Jersey's right to carry law, but that sounds a little bit weird, weird to me. Okay, we have a green tip for tonight. We always have one of those. And this one is really good. I'm a believer in this one, I think. Let's see which number it is. Oh, which number is it? It is... I lost it. I can't believe it. My page is missing. But anyway, the tip was this. If you're going to exercise, don't go to gyms like Gold's Gym or some of that place where you're going to use high-energy equipment and you're going to have the lights on bright and you're going to be playing your radio. Open your front or back door and go outside and exercise regardless of the weather. You will thoroughly enjoy it. People do that all the time. They walk outside virtually every day. And they stay fit doing that. So that's our green tip for tonight. But save some energy and exercise outside and not burn up lights and use treadmills and that type of thing. Got a treadmill. I never really enjoyed it for some reason. I don't know why that is. It just seems so artificial to me. But I know people that walk zillions of miles on them, and they seem to enjoy them. Well, let's take a look at some of the criminal justice news tonight. There's some interesting things out there. And one of them is really sad. This is a story out of Philadelphia. And it's a repeat of something that has happened to us before. And I feel so sorry for the people in these parishes. But let's see if it'll click on here. Okay. This comes out of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. They just suspended 21 priests over sex abuse allegations. Now, we don't have any convictions yet, but they suspended 21 priests on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, after they were named in a grand jury report that's released last month. And this grand jury investigation has been going on, I think, something like a couple of years. It says these have been difficult weeks since the release of the grand jury report. Difficult, most of all, for the victims of sexual abuse, but all for the Catholics and everyone in the community. This grand jury investigation started 2 years ago and resulted in charges against two priests, a former priest and a Catholic school teacher. They stand accused of raping young boys, reports to the Associated Press. Isn't that terrible to be in a position of trust like that? You know, supposedly operating under the auspices of God and His direction, and then you get involved in something like that. So they're saying here that without warning any of the priests' sex abuse complaints, they just went ahead and moved forward. Said, "I wish to express my sorrow for this," says one of the members of the church, and another member of the clergy. He says, "I'm truly sorry to harm done to the victims of sexual abuse, as well as to the members of our community who suffer as a result of this particular thing." So that's really sad, isn't it? A terrible kind of thing to happen. Let's hope that these young people can recover from something like this and be able to live a normal life. This is kind of an interesting case here. Maybe a little overdone, I would think, in police work, but I wasn't there. I will always say that. A guy gets stopped, and he's an African-American man. He was driving a nice car in New Jersey, and they had a thing on their wanted. It said that he hadn't paid a court-imposed fine, stemming, how far back did that thing go, from a traffic offense. And he had paid it. This thing was like in March 2005. He was in the passenger seat. It was of his BMW when a state trooper pulled it over for speeding. His wife was driving the car. His 4-year-old son, Shamar, was in the back. The trooper ran a record search, and he found an outstanding warrant that was based on the supposedly unpaid fine. Mr. Lawrence showed the trooper the document, but he was arrested anyway. Anyway, what happens to this guy? He ends up going to jail. He strip searched twice. They made him squat and cough and then spread the, well, you can imagine. He said the treatment had stung, and they've ruled it, you know, something like this, I guess, is legal. What do they say about that, Mike? Offenses violate the Fourth Amendment for something like a traffic violation, but they did it anyway. Then eventually they find out that, you know, he did pay his fine, and all this was, you know, not warranted. Can you imagine having to go through that? You know, I think I mentioned last week I got a parking ticket, overdue parking ticket notice from Covington, Kentucky. I've been in Covington, Kentucky in 30 years. Fortunately, when I called them, they just simply canceled the thing, but really kind of odd. How about this? You know, people go to Mexico City. It's a wonderful place to go, and sometimes it ain't such a wonderful place to go because there's a lot of crime there, and people get robbed, that type of thing. I've had former students that happened to, but one of the ladies now that goes there, she says she loves to go to the historic center in Mexico City, and now she feels a lot safer because Mexico City has now installed, during the past year, are you counting? 6,200 security cameras have been positioned in Mexico City's busiest and traditionally most dangerous areas. Another 1,800 will be added by December. What have they been doing? Talking to former Mayor Daley of Chicago or Mayor Bloomberg in New York City? Fausto Lugo, who runs the project for the local government, claims that this will give the city more government-owned cameras than any other. Isn't that something? So they're going for it, the title, and a plan to incorporate into a scheme an additional 100,000 privately owned surveillance cameras. So they're going to top Ogden, Utah with their blimp that will fly 24 hours a day and be plugged into both public and private security cameras. But isn't that something? For its complexity, solidity, and speed with which we are doing this project, he says no place has any rival. So Mexico City is now going to be the hands-down winner on security cameras. They may top London. We'll have to see what happens. But he thinks that this will be great for Mexico City and it will reduce crime. I wish he'd read up a little more because find out he does virtually nothing. The United States are used in about 7% of all prosecutions in many places. They sit idle because they're broken and needed maintenance, etc. And they're expensive to maintain, I'm told. So anyway, we'll see how that works in Mexico City. We wish the best for them. We don't know what's actually going to happen. On the same note about security cameras, you know I like this subject, the military and I think Homeland Security is doing, yes, the Department of Transportation, they are now going to, no, that's not it. Wrong storyline. Here it is. Tiny spy planes could mimic birds. This comes out of San Diego. You'll never look at a hummingbird the same way now. The Pentagon has poured millions of dollars into the development of tiny drones inspired by biology, each equipped with video and audio equipment that can record sights and sounds. They could be used to spy, but also to locate people inside earthquake, crumble buildings, and detect hazardous chemical things. The smaller, the better, they're saying. Besides the hummingbirds, engineers in the growing unmanned aircraft industry are working on drones that look like insects. Oh, no. And the helicopter like maple leaf seed. Researchers are even exploring ways to implant surveillance cameras and other equipment. They're going to put them in insects as it's undergoing metamorphosis. They want to be able to control the creature. So they'll put something inside these, I guess, big insects, I would think, or something, but and then they'll be able to control where they go, and they can go in and undetected can film. I mean, what will we think of next? You just can't have too much surveillance, right? Some of these birds can climb vertically sideways. They can stick to sides of the trees, but they're, in fact, surveillance cameras. 5 years and $4 million later, a company has developed what it called the world's first hummingbird spy plane. So they're out there, too. So as the weather warms up and you see a hummingbird run around, be careful. Don't do anything in front of a hummingbird because it could, in fact, be a a police or a government spy plane or spy camp. Just absolutely incredible. I don't know how we can put up with all this, but we just keep doing it. And I think I mentioned it's happened since I talked to you last week, but the Department of Homeland Security has released a document, and I heard it talked about on the radio yesterday. And this document talks about what they're going to do with their body scanners. And they plan on taking these body scanners and put them in vans and vehicles so that they can drive by a street corner and see people naked and also see if they're carrying any type of weapon, gun, nightstick, knife, or whatsoever. So now if police adapt this procedure, they can drive down the street and shoot into your car and actually see not only what your underwear looks like, but virtually everything else. Well, how much surveillance is enough? Apparently we haven't found it yet. But isn't that just incredible that kind of stuff is still going on? Anyway, interesting. It's quite a subject. And I'm reading this book now called Alone Together by Sherry Turkle. I believe I mentioned it last week. And she studied this whole business of technology and its effect on us. And she's an MIT professor. This is her third book. And she's talking about what we're doing with robots. And my heavens, I didn't even know on the toy side how many robots there were. I kind of looked that up and did some internet searches, and there are robots every size imaginable and just about every cost. But these things are becoming, people are starting to prefer, kids are starting to prefer to play with a robot as opposed to a real friend. And this allows us to escape something. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I'll have more to say as I read more into that book. It's a fascinating book, by the way, as we do the book talk segment of our show. It's called Alone Together by Sherry Turkle. Really interesting book. Well, that's it for the news segment and our book talk segment tonight. So what we're going to do is go straight to the radio show, an old-time radio show. They didn't do many, I think maybe two or three. And this stars Groucho Marx in his usual wild way. He's loose at the lips, that's for sure. And I think you'll get a kick out of this, but it does relate to criminal justice in some way. So here we go with Groucho Marx in the show entitled The Kidnapping.
Ladies and gentlemen, Radio Theater Group takes pleasure in presenting to you the third in our series of great detective stories. You're about to be regaled by those princely purveyors of mad mirth and furiously funny farce, Groucho and Chico Marx in The Kidnapping. The aliases under which these two wacky Marx brothers are now masquerading are as follows. Groucho is investigative lawyer, Waldorf P. Flywheel. And Chico is Emmanuel Ravelli, Waldorf's legal assistant. Other characters include Miss Dimple, Flywheel's long-suffering receptionist, and murderous mobster, Big Joe Crookley. The curtain is rising on the offices of Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel. That's Miss Dimple at the switchboard.
Lobsters of Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel. No, Mr. Flywheel isn't in. He's in court trying your husband's case. Uh-huh. Just a second. Here he is. Oh, Mr. Flywheel, here's Mrs. Watson on the phone.
Good. I was just going to call her. Hello, Mrs. Watson. How are you? That's fine. Your husband? Oh, yeah. I meant to tell you. He got 5 years in prison. But don't worry, Mrs. Watson. I've got a very pleasant surprise for you. I'm going to knock 10% off my bill. Goodbye. Miss Dimple, put down that telephone book. This office is no place for a bookworm.
Yes, Mr. Flywheel.
Any mail this morning?
Yes. There's a letter from the typewriter company. They say you haven't paid the bill yet.
Why should I pay for the typewriter? You're the one who uses it.
But Mr. Flywheel,
Never mind. Take a letter to those cheap chiselers. Gentlemen, I never ordered that typewriter. If I did, you didn't send it. If I sent it, well, you never got it. If I got it, I paid for it. If I didn't, I won't. Best regards.
Anything else, Mr. Flywheel?
Yes, love and kisses. But don't send them. They're for you. And now, take a letter of the Peerless Building Supply Company. Gentlemen, I refuse to accept a penny less than $50 for the electrical fixtures in my office. In case I do not hear from you, I shall conclude that you do not wish to pay more than $12. So in order to lose no time, I shall accept the $12.
But Mr. Flywheel, she can't sell those fixtures. They belong to the landlord.
Well, he ought to be glad. I'm only selling his fixtures so I can pay for his rent. Say, tell that assistant of mine to wrap up the chandelier.
Mr. Ravelli? He isn't in yet.
Well, when he comes in, you better tell him to take out more fire insurance. I'm going to fire him on Saturday.
Why, here he comes. Hello, Mr. Ravelli.
Hello, Mr. Impeller Bus.
Ravelli, you realize you're a half hour late?
I couldn't help it, Mr. Flywheel. I fell down a whole flight of stairs.
Well, does it take you a half hour to fall down one flight of stairs?
All right. If you don't believe that story, I'll tell you another one. I came late because my brother, used little money on the house.
Money trouble, Mr. Ravelli?
Yeah. My little brother, he swallowed the nickel.
Really? What did you do?
Well, next week's his birthday anyway, so I let them keep the nickel.
Hey, stop jabbering and clean out my desk.
I cleaned out the desk yesterday. That's where I get the nickel.
Come in.
Ravelli, I'm getting into my private office. When I come back, I don't want to catch you loafing.
All right, if you don't want to catch me loafing, you better whistle before you come out.
I said come in. Mr. Ravelli, I think he's selling something.
Well, 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 just what I like to see. A busy little office with bright, smiling faces.
Shut up.
Excuse me, you see, I represent the Excelsior House-to-House Merchandise Company.
Well, there's nobody here but that name. This is Flywheel's office.
You don't understand. If you just give me a moment of your time, I'd like to show you a few choice values in neckties, safety razors, hair tonic. Say, let me tell you about this tonic. It's the real thing.
All right, give me a taste.
No! No. Now, before I began using this tonic, my hair was getting pretty thin.
Well, it don't look so fat now.
You just try it once. We guarantee every bottle.
Oh, the bottle. She looks all right. But I think this stuff inside is no good. Hey, how much for that necktie?
Now you're talking. I'm going to sell you that tie for $1.
A dollar?
Yes, brother, and that's a steal at that price.
Hey, if I'm going to steal it, I can get it for nothing.
$1 and the tie is yours. Why, I paid 95 cents for it myself.
Well, if you paid only 95 cents, why should I pay $1?
Well, the nickel's my profit. I got a wife to support.
Hey, I think I'm going to help you support your wife. Nobody supports my wife, not even me. I tell you what, you leave the necktie and I'll send you 95 cents care of Woodlawn Cemetery.
Woodlawn Cemetery? That's not my address.
Well, it will be by the time I send you the 95 cents. Some joke, eh?
Oh, I can't see. I'm wasting my time here.
Well, it took you a long time to find out.
Goodbye.
Did I hear someone come in?
Yeah, a wise guy. He wanted a nickel for his wife.
A nickel for his wife? Well, that sounds cheap enough. Was she good looking?
All right, come in.
Mr. Flywheel, permit me to introduce myself. I'm Bertram T. Bardwell. I suppose you've been hearing about my charity work and my fight against crime?
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing about that for a number of years. I'm getting pretty sick of it, too.
Why, I happened to be in court this morning when I heard your thrilling address to the jury sent that man to prison for 5 years where he belongs.
My speech sent him to prison? That's a good one on the jury. I was defending that
guy. Just a moment, Mr. Flywheel. Let me ask you a question.
Hey, I got a question too, boss. What animal likes ducks, always plays in the mud, and eats anything?
I know, Ravelli, it's you.
Somebody told you.
Mr. Flywheel, my organization is waging an intensive fight against crime in this city, and I feel you're the man who can help us drive the crooks out of town.
Hey, why should we drive them out? Let them walk.
Nice work, Ravelli.
You see, gentlemen, my committee is determined to rid the city of public enemy number one, Big Joe Crookley. Although Crookley himself is in hiding, he has crime organized like a big business. In fact, some of his gangsters have an office only 2 doors from here.
Barwell, you came to the right man. There is enough room in this town for gangsters and me, Waldorf T. Flywheel. That's why we're putting up a big hotel in the spring.
Boss, you leave it to me. Ravel is pretty smart. I go next door and tell them gangsters to move.
An excellent idea, Ravelli. But wait a minute, you've got your hat on wrong.
Well, I don't know which way I'm going yet. And say, if you see my brother, you tell him to wait.
I don't know your brother.
I never thought of that. All right, then tell him not to wait. Goodbye.
Mr. Flywheel, I can see you're a man of action. Sometime later, I'd like to interest you in our charity work, too.
Charity work? Barwell, I'm not the kind of fellow who likes to talk about his good deeds, but it may interest you to know that I've been sending pretty large-sized checks to various charities, and not even the charities know that the money came from me.
But, Mr. Flywheel, I don't understand. Couldn't they tell by the name on the checks?
No, that's how modest I am. I didn't even sign the checks.
Why, Mr. Flywheel, what's this? Someone just put a note under the door.
Well, pick up the door and get it.
It says, why, good heavens, it's from Crookley's gangsters. They've kidnapped Mr. Ravelli for meddling in their affairs.
Kidnapped him?
Listen to this. Unless you send us $10,000, we will kill Emmanuel Ravelli.
They'll kill him? Mr. Flywheel, what are you going to do?
Keep cool, Barwell. Miss Dimple, take a letter to Big Joe Crookley. Dear Joe, received yours of November 29th, in which you state that unless I send $10,000, you will kill Ravelli. I haven't got the money, but the proposition sounds very attractive. Send further details.
Won't ever find this place. Where's that fellow Ravelli?
Inside. Eating. That's all he's been doing since we grabbed him off a week ago. Hey, Chief, is that lawyer Flywheel gonna come through with the 10 grand?
I think so. He's on his way over here now.
Say, what if he brings the cops?
Don't worry. He won't go shooting off his mouth. I told Flywheel what's good for him. Now I think I'll have a little talk with Ravelli.
Right, Chief.
Hey, Ravelli. Ravelli, put that dish down. I'm talking to you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Crookley. Sit down. Have a piece of pie. I just had 3 pieces, and I'm afraid to eat any more.
What?
Sure, if I eat too much pie, I'm afraid I get the pie-ria.
Oh, look here, Mug. We've been treating you pretty nice. You know why? Because if Flywheel don't show up with that $10,000 today, you ain't gonna live very long.
Hey, you crazy. I feel fine. I think you eat some more pie.
Who is it?
Say, Chief, there's a guy coming in. I think he's at Flywheel.
Flywheel, don't let him in till I hide the pie.
Bring him up here.
Okay, Chief. This way, mister.
Well, Flywheel, I...
Cut out the formalities. When are you gonna kill Ravelli?
Hey, boss. Is that what they're going to do?
Don't be alarmed, Ravelli. I fixed everything. I've written a farewell note to your wife, and I've sent flowers to your sweetheart. I've also arranged a nice, quiet little funeral. There'll be 8 carriages for your family and a motorcycle for your friends.
Quit stalling, Flywheel. Did you raise that money?
Oh, I raised the money, all right, but unfortunately I had to spend it at Ravelli's funeral.
Come on in.
Hey, Chief, I got to talk to you.
All right. I'll be right with you. Listen, Flywheel. You and Ravelli stay right here. Come over here, Slim. What is it?
Chief, Butch just called and said we better lay low on these guys. The cops is all steamed up about the kidnapping, and they kind of suspect you.
Okay. I'll try and grab off the dough and throw them both out.
Yeah, maybe you better, Chief.
Look here, Flywheel. Forget the 10 grand. You give me $5,000 and Ravelli can leave here.
Sure, I'd like to leave here. It's a very nice house to live in.
Well, what about the 5,000?
5,000? Crookley, can you make it 3,000?
All right, I'll make it 3,000.
That's talking, Crookley. Now, if you make it 2,000, I'll make it 1,000. I haven't got the 1,000 in cash, but I'll give you my note for 30 days. If it isn't paid by then, you can keep the note.
Listen, you guys, I'm going to give you exactly 5 minutes to make up your minds. When I come back, you're either going to fork over the dough, or it'll be curtains for both of you. Get me? Curtains for both of you. Now think fast.
Boss, we're in a tight fix. What are we going to do?
First, Ravelli, I think I'll have a piece of that pie. Take some for yourself.
Thanks, boss. I'm full.
Well, put some in your pockets.
They're full, too.
It's Crookley.
Crookley? He's probably bringing us the curtains.
Better hurry up, you guys. You've got just 2 more minutes.
Ravelli, I've got to give this a lot of thought.
Hey, boss, I got an idea.
Be quiet. I can't hear myself talk.
That's all right. You ain't missing anything. Say, it's cold in this room.
It is kind of chilly. See what the thermometer says.
You can't believe that thermometer. One day it's a 60, next day it's a 65. It's a no good.
Well, the thermometer ought to be kept at 70.
I can fix that easy. I'll just light a match. Watch.
Ravelli, be careful of those draperies.
Hey, boss, they're burning. Oh, boy, look at that fire.
Oh, Crookley, can I use your telephone? Answer my question first. Can I use your telephone?
Unless you call the cops, I suppose.
Not at all. I just wanted to call the fire department and ask them where the nearest alarm box is. Crookley, I don't want to seem like an old gossip, but your house is on fire.
What have you guys been up to? Slim!
What's wrong?
Quick, bring some water.
You can make mine, ginger ale.
And I'll have sex some more pie. Hey, I know a song about pie. Goodbye forever, forever.
Say, Crookley, why don't you call the fire department? I know all the boys at Hook and Ladder 78. And tell them to bring along a deck and pinochle car.
Nothing doing. I don't want no cops or firemen snooping around here.
He's right, boss. There's no use calling the fire department now. The place is on fire already.
Ravelli, open the windows. Open the windows. The smoke is beginning to get to me.
Yeah, there's too much smoke. You better put out your cigar.
Boys, the fire's pretty fast. You better start running.
Hey, Flywheel, I know a good place to run to.
Where, Ravelli? Where?
Toronto, Canada. Hot stuff, eh, boss?
Slim, it's the fire department. The cops, too. Watch your step. Break that door down!
This way!
Up here!
Pull out the hoses.
Gee, Crookley, you better duck!
Don't worry, Slim. The cops around here won't recognize me. Listen, Flywheel. No cracks about me being Joe Crookley, if you know what's good for you.
Count on me, Crookley, old boy. I'll see that your name isn't mentioned. Oh, policeman.
What is it?
I want you to meet Emmanuel Ravelli, the fellow who started a fire.
What?
And before I forget it, when you report this fire, don't mention Joe Crookley's name because there's a warrant out for his arrest.
Joe Crookley, you're under arrest.
Why will you? I'll get you if it's the last thing I ever do.
Silence in the court. His Honor, the judge. Everybody rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The municipal court is now in session and stands until adjournment.
What's the next case, clerk?
It's a preliminary hearing, Your Honor, in the case of Joseph Big Joe Crookley, charged with the kidnapping of Emmanuel Ravelli.
Proceed with the hearing.
Your Honor, please, one moment.
What is it, Mr. Bardwell?
Your Honor, I'd like to say a few words on behalf of the Citizens Committee Against Crime.
Of course, Mr. Bardwell.
My organization regards this case as tremendously significant and wants to commend Mr. Flywheel here in open court for his noble, fearless, public-spirited activities in bringing that arch-enemy of the people, Joe Crookley, to justice.
Thanks, folks. Thanks. I waited and struggled a long time for this honor. Why, I began life as a barefoot boy.
That's nothing, boss. When I was born, I was naked.
Gentlemen, the court wants this case to proceed.
Very well, Your Honor. If you and Ravelli will keep your traps shut, I'll proceed. As I was about to say, before the judge horned in, when I was a wee bit of a tot, I was left an orphan.
You were left an orphan. What did you do with it?
Mr. Flywheel, the court must ask you to sit down. Now, Mr. District Attorney, proceed with the hearing.
If Your Honor please, the State Attorney's Office has been requested by the Citizens Committee to let Mr. Flywheel conduct the prosecution because of his splendid work in tracking down Joe Crookley.
Very good. Joseph Crookley, where's your attorney? J. judge. I offered to pay plenty, but I couldn't get a lawyer in this town with nerve enough to take my case. I even offered to pay as high as $5,000.
Just a minute, Your Honor. I'm talking now not as Flywheel the lawyer, but as Flywheel the man, the defender of human rights. In a court of justice, Your Honor, every man has certain inalienable rights. Every man has a right to advice and counsel of a lawyer, especially if he has $5,000. Crookley, I'll take your case. Trot out the 5,000 clams.
Mr. Flywheel, the court was under the impression that you were going to prosecute Crookley.
Well, I was under that impression, too, until I heard about the 5,000. Let's start the case. The first witness for the defense is Emmanuel Ravelli.
Mr. Flywheel, you can't call Ravelli for the defense. He's the man who says he was kidnapped.
Oh, so that's the story he's been spreading while he's a liar.
Hey, what do you mean calling me a liar?
You're a liar. I didn't call you a liar. See, Your Honor, he wouldn't tell the truth under oath. Ravelli, get up there and take the oath.
Okay, boss.
Order! Order! Emmanuel Ravelli, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Hey, you want me to lose my job?
Emmanuel Ravelli, where were you born?
I wasn't born. I had a stepmother.
Come, come, Ravelli. Tell the court your birthday.
What do you want to know for, Judge? You ain't going to buy me nothing.
He's right, Your Honor. You haven't bought a thing since you bought your place on the bench.
See here, Mr. Flywheel. The court considers that remark most unnecessary and vicious.
Hey, Judge, that's what I got for my birthday.
You got what?
Vicious. I got a telegram with very big vicious. Some joke, eh?
Please, can we get on with this hearing? Mr. Ravelli, will you kindly state your age?
Sure, Judge. I'm just a 28.
28? Why, you said you were 28 when you appeared here in court 2 years ago.
Well, when Ravelli says something in court, he sticks to it.
There you are, Your Honor. I guess that'll hold you for a while. I make a motion that you dismiss the charges against my client.
Motion denied. Mr. Flywheel, have you any other witnesses? I don't think this one is intelligent enough to understand court proceedings.
Huh. You hear that, Ravelli? Your Honor, just to show you what a fool you're making of yourself, I'm going to give my witness an intelligence test. Ravelli, what's the first letter of the alphabet?
Give me a hint.
Ravelli, is that question so hard for you?
No, the question's easy. The answer's hard.
All right, I'll try another one. Where was the Declaration of Independence signed?
At the bottom.
Right.
The court cannot help but regard all this as irrelevant and immaterial. Mr. Flywheel, you now claim that Crookley did not kidnap Ravelli. How is it that Crookley was found at the scene of the crime where he was holding Ravelli prisoner?
Frankly, Judge, that's got me kind of puzzled, too. Say, maybe it was Ravelli who kidnapped Crookley.
Silence in the court! Silence in the court!
Your Honor, in a case as important as this, we cannot be swayed by our emotions. Nothing matters but hard, cold facts. Remember, I too have a baby. I met her in a dance hall. And, Your Honor, I couldn't go home and face my baby if I felt that I was offending a guilty man.
Just a moment, Mr. Flywheel. The prosecution hasn't been heard from yet. Do you expect to talk much longer?
Certainly. The longer I talk, the longer my client stays out of jail. Your Honor, Joe Crookley is really a fine boy at heart. He's very good to his family. He never goes home. Why, for a whole year, he didn't talk to his wife. And why didn't he talk to his wife? Because he didn't want to interrupt her. Your Honor, I demand a habeas corpus.
A habeas corpus?
You needn't be embarrassed, Judge. I don't know what it means either.
Mr. Flywheel, you've wasted enough of this court's time. Mr. District Attorney, call your witnesses.
Your Honor, the state has been surprised in this case. We have counted on Emmanuel Ravelli as our witness. And since he shifted to the defense, I'm afraid we have no case.
In that event, I am forced, much against my will, to dismiss the charges and release the defendant, Joseph Crookley. Crookley, you may go. Thanks, Judge. So long there, Flywheel.
Judge, he's leaving the courtroom. Bring him back.
Bring Crookley back. What for?
He owes me $5,000.
You're crazy, boss. We owe him $5,000.
We owe him $5,000?
Sure, he had $10,000 in his pocketbook.
Well?
Well, I got his pocketbook.
Attaboy.
Keep your seats, people. The show isn't over. The mad Mr. Flywheel and his insane assistant, Emmanuel Ravelli, have gone for the night, it's true. But Groucho and Chico Marx are still very much with us, and are going to give us something brand new. They've concocted a little act entitled The Marx Brothers Motoring. Scene, an Esso service station, anywhere from Maine to Texas. Characters, Groucho, Chico, and an Esso dealer. Here it is.
Boy, Dad was fast driving. Groucho, you know you were going 70 miles an hour.
Well, I was in a hurry. The brakes in this car don't work, and I wanted to get here before we had an accident.
What are we going to do here?
Get our oil changed, of course.
What do you want to change it? Don't you like it anymore?
Sure I like it. So we've got a lot of miles with it, and it's dirty.
Dirty? Then what makes you think they'll change it for you? This fella here, he wouldn't want to change a dirty aisle.
Maybe you're right. I think I'll take some free air instead. Oh, dealer!
Yes, sir. Shall I change your oil? It pays to change to Esso Lube.
That's fine. How much does it pay?
It pays in value, sir. Esso Lube is the first 5-quality oil ever made. Until it was developed, folks had to choose between 2 types of oil.
I know, olive oil and castor oil.
No, I mean 2 types of motor oil. One had 3 of the 5 qualities a modern oil needs. The other had 2 of them. But there was no oil with all 5. Then, after many years of work on a great invention so important it won a Nobel Prize, my company perfected hydroplaning and produced Esso Lube, the first 5-star oil.
Sounds too expensive. Better fill up the car with castor oil instead.
But it isn't expensive. That's another amazing thing about Esso Lube. It's regular price. Costs you less to buy than the oil you've got in there now, probably.
That's a fine.
Will you take a couple of quarts for your car?
A couple of quarts for this car? Sold! Rig is oil and the car is yours.
This concludes Radio Theater Group's presentation of The Kidnapping, featuring Peter Lamb as Walter Fee Flywheel and Groucho Marx. Mr. Paul Darick as Emmanuel Ravelli and Chico Marx. Miss Frances Burnett as Miss Dimple. And Bruce Downey as Big Joe Cookley. Join us here at the Ramshorn on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of December for our Christmas double bill. Miracle on 34th Street and It's a Wonderful Life. This has been a Radio Theater Group presentation. Thank you for listening.
Groucho, the series didn't last very long. You may be able to detect why. But anyway, kind of interesting that those characters, the Marx Brothers, would be involved in that type of radio show. Well, that's it for tonight. We're going to have Vera Lynn sign us off, and we'll see you next week. And I think next week we're going to be doing something special on surveillance. If not, it'll be the week after that. So talk to you later. Bye.
We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be